This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Lies, Sam. You speak lies. Sam, during the newscast, says, oh, Scotty's getting another new roof. Heavy hail in Western Shawnee.
I don't speak lies. The text line speaks lies. You think I'm in Western Shawnee reporting this?
I went to our Western Shawnee correspondent, Heather Mead, my neighbor. And I said, please, oh, God, tell me the text line is lying. She said, we're getting really heavy rain right now, but there's no hail.
Not yet.
There could be some scattered, sporadic hail in parts as these storms roll through.
Quiet, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is heavy rain in Western Shawnee.
For now.
We call that watering the grass seed, but there is no hail.
It's all good.
There's no hail.
Did you guys turn off the heated roads?
Really?
They're not needed. Not until tomorrow night.
I'm sure that you went and in your robe and turned them off.
Of course I did.
Okay.
The thing today is going to be not just the quick hail. It's going to be very, very fast, mm-hmm. and it's going to be the wind.
Less than 30 minutes. Wind gusts up to 55 to 60 miles per hour as it passes through. But I was watching the weather this morning. It's going to blow right through.
Yeah, it's moving quick. If you look outside right now, you can see the trees are bending in the wind.
Bending it like Beckham.
It's whipping.
Is it whipping?
The wind is
whipping. No.
Stop it.
You can't put an H in a word that doesn't have an H.
From the text line,
yes,
I will send y'all the dang picture. I am sitting in Western Shawnee right now, hailing.
All right. I believe them.
Not in my part of Western Shawnee. We have the dome up.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. New survey out. Many consumers will stick with the same bank account for decades.
I saw that.
For decades.
You know why?
Because it's convenient.
Well, it's convenient. And a lot of people tend to fall directly down the bank line from where their mom and dad bank. Did your mom and dad bank at CapFed?
No.
See, my parents did, so I started out with CapFed. I didn't move, you know, I moved to UMB, shameless plug, several years ago, and I'm very happy there. But I think most people start out banking where their mom and dad bank.
I can't remember if my mom banks at First Bank in Atchison. I don't know. There is no CapFed up in Leavenworth. And I didn't have enough money for a bank account. Well, no, that's not true. I was at Friends Bank in Leavenworth? I had a very small account there, but when I started college in Lawrence, you know, I worked at the Alumni Center. I worked at a dry cleaner. I would get a little bit of money. We're talking a couple hundred bucks. And that's when I opened up my first account at CapFed. I have been with CapFed for 34 years.
Have you gotten the toaster yet?
No. What do they give you? They used to give
me name recognition.
No.
Welcome, Mr. Parks.
Yes. We haven't seen anyone in here in days. We are so glad to have you here.
The only one that orders checks?
They used to give out toasters.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a promotion.
Open a checking account, get a toaster.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be hilarious now if you went through the drive-thru and they were like, we're going to need you to come in. We have a Hamilton Beach toaster.
I did exactly what you said, Dana. My mom took me to the bank. We opened up a bank account with her bank, and I've been with that bank account ever since.
Yep.
I will die with that CapFed account.
Wow.
For me, it's convenient. I mean, my bank is everywhere.
What bank do you use?
The One of America.
Oh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a branch right down the street here.
I know. I go there for cash often when we do community building here in the building.
By that, you mean gambling?
No, I said community building.
Oh, community building. That's right.
Well, last thing I will say, as someone who changed banks when I moved. Like, when I moved is
why
when
did
I
you,
moved.
Why did you change banks?
Well, because, number one, I work with UMB all the time, and they're a client. But number two, I was moving. And the branch that I did have where they had my mortgage and they, you know, and then I sold the house was right next door to where I live. Well, then I moved and sold that house after 9,436 years on the market. When I moved, there was no branch near me. And so it just made sense to move banks at that time. But I will tell you this, I think one of the main reasons people don't is not only because loyalty and all those things, but like you said, it is such a pain to, I'm still getting notices that like my bank account was connected to, let's say like my doctor's office.
Right.
I haven't been to my doctor's office in a year.
Right.
It took like on the front end, it takes some work to shut everything down.
I get it. You know, there's a UMB branch right next to my house.
I'll never leave.
Once right
I'm there,
the
I'm happy.
Cafe.
I will never leave.
Okay. We have a new backup quarterback for Patrick Mahomes.
Oh.
We hear about this? Yeah. ESPN is reporting that Gardner Minshew.
The guy who nearly beat us last season.
That is correct. Played for the Las Vegas Raiders last season. He has started 42 career games in a six-year NFL career. He will join the Chiefs following one season with the Raiders. For the Raiders in 2024, he threw for 2,000 yards, 9 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Don't let that trick you, because his career is 68 touchdowns and only 34 interceptions. So he's 2-for-1.
He's a good backup guy.
Yeah, he's a good backup.
You know, when he was with the Raiders, it's hard to be the only decent player on the field. And sorry, Max Crosby. On the offensive side
of
the field. Yeah.
He has played with the Colts, the Jaguars, the Raiders, and he was on the Eagles team when the Chiefs beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl a couple years back. He was the backup for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Chiefs also.
Or not Jalen Hurts. Was it Nick Foles who was a quarterback at the time? Or was it no, it was Jalen Hurts.
It was.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs also have re-signed Hunt.
Kareem Hunt, that's right. One-year deal, $2.5 million. He is sticking around.
Good.
Good.
The family of a homeless woman who was found dead in her van at an impound lot.
God, did you hear about this?
A month after the vehicle was hit by a drunken driver has filed a $50 million claim against the city of San Diego.
Yeah.
Monica DeAdams, 65 years old, was in her parked van in November of 2023 when a drunk driver hit her vehicle. Her body was not discovered until a month later when a towing company employee noticed a foul smell coming from the van in the tow lot, which had been moved to an impound lot. Quoting here from the family's attorney, John Carpenter, "The last place you would think to look for a missing person was inside of their own car."
Help me understand. I've read this story 3 times. How are you struck by a drunk driver and then police come to the scene and they're like, okay, we got ourselves a crash here, and you don't know that there is a woman inside? Did they think the drunk driver hit a vacant car?
Well, I don't know the parameters of where the car was located on the road. But if she was not wearing a seatbelt, it is quite possible that the impact of the crash could have dislodged her and thrown her into the floorboards.
I would believe you if the DUI driver crashed into a vacant, like a car in a parking lot. We don't know where she was.
Or parked on the side of the road.
Or parked on the side of the road, which she might have been. But my first thought was like, if this was a wreck and she was in traffic, clearly there was a driver of that car.
It says she was in her parked van. It doesn't say where the van was parked.
How do you not see that? My God.
An autopsy showed that DeAdams died from blunt force trauma injuries that she sustained in the crash. Her family believes she was badly injured, needed medical treatment, but was taken to the tow yard while trapped.
They'll never know. They'll never know if she was alive or dead. They'll never know.
While trapped inside of her van and left for dead.
Oh, my God.
to Adams was homeless and had been sleeping in her van at the time of the collision. When she did not respond to birthday messages her family sent on November 13th, her daughter filed a missing persons report with the police.
Yeah, I'm sure that they thought that the car was empty. She was probably laying across the back seat, didn't have her seatbelt on, parked on the side of the road.
You know, that's a good point. If she's living out of her van
and
it's parked, she could be in the back seat sleeping. Car gets hit. She falls into the floorboard.
And those older vans all have the bench seats in the back. They don't have the newer van captain's chairs or whatever they call them.
The drunk driver, by the way, was Jordan Lopez. He was arrested at the scene. Blood alcohol level of 0.26. That is more than three times the legal limit.
So keep in mind, when they first arrested him, they thought this was like damage to property. And then there's going to be another knock at the door or handcuffs placed on him. Like, by the way, you killed a woman.
Well, yeah. So if he's already been convicted for the DUI
He pleaded guilty to vehicular manslaughter.
Oh, okay.
You would have to. You would have to say this is updated because we have someone who has died. I'm so sad for that family.
Let me rephrase. He was initially charged with vehicular manslaughter. He agreed to a plea deal of DUI causing bodily injury. He will be sentenced next week and faces 6 years in prison.
All right. When we get back, we all did stupid things when we were 13. The story that we are talking about up next is not a stupid thing. It is a criminal thing. And police say it is possible that the parents of two 13-year-olds who went criming could be charged. Oh, stick with us for that.
Yeah, let's do that one right now. Because this is a good news story on a Friday. And this is from David Muir, ABC News.
A redemption story.
Yeah. Years ago, about 20 years ago, there was this young 13-year-old girl. I believe it was at a Trailblazers game in Portland. The story will tell you. And she was invited to come sing the national anthem. She forgot the words.
That's her heart.
20-something years later, redemption.
You're the 13-year-old that... national anthem and her nerves. 22 years later, the comeback. It was the moment seen by millions more than two decades ago.
Oh, say can you see?
In 2003, a young singer, Natalie Gilbert, just 13, singing the national anthem on the Portland Trailblazers basketball court.
Proudly we hailed at the stars like stars.
Starting off strong, then the nerves, suddenly forgetting some of the lyrics.
All right, come on, come on.
The team's coach, Maurice Cheeks, quickly stepping to her side to help her. That basketball coach soon coaching her.
Oh, the ramparts we watched.
Singing with her and then encouraging the crowd to sing too. Natalie would go on to finish the anthem to cheers. She and the coach would never forget that moment. And now, 22 years later, she walked back onto that court last night, invited back by the team. And who was there? That proud coach, ready to cheer her on again. And just listen.
Oh, say can you see?
Tonight, Natalie telling us she hopes everyone knows it's okay to make mistakes. It's all about how you recover and become stronger.
Nailed it.
She nailed it the first time. I mean, when he comes over and puts his arm on her shoulder and is singing in the background, I got chills. It brought tears to my eyes.
It's a great story.
Oh, it's a great story.
Okay.
All right, now on to teenagers.
Shall we
not
relive some
things.
Of the worst?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, please, please.
Carl Lewis has to be on the list. Roseanne Barr is on the list, but no. I don't want to hear that because I think she did that on purpose.
Roseanne Barr is number two worst of all time, according to Billboard.
Carl Lewis has to be number one.
Carl Lewis, good God, is not on the list, believe it or not.
Oh, come on. That is a flawed
when
list.
He goes, uh-oh.
We'll feature that one. First, we're going to start with number one.
Okay.
Kat DeLuna.
Oh.
Kat DeLuna.
Last gleaming
man whose broad stripes and bright stars through the pale.
Lost it there.
Not like Carl Lewis.
This is not number one.
Yeah, this is not the worst. What was that band? The
Fray.
The Fray.
Yeah.
Are they in the top 10?
They're not in the. This is the top 12. They are not in the top 12.
Oh, this list is fake news.
And we can't forget Fergie.
Gave through the night.
Okay.
That our flag was still there.
Enough of that.
That was at the NBA All-Star Game. Thank you, Fergie. This one, actually, last year, and she has since made news again. This is now ranked as the third worst national anthem of all time, July of last year.
Okay.
Ingrid Andress.
Let's fight for the ramparts we watch. We're so gallantly streaming. And the rockets red glare.
That entire line right there was flat.
Well, she
has since come out and said that she was hammered during that performance.
That's right. Didn't she go to rehab right after that?
She said she booked herself into rehab the next day, and she made news again this week because she came out again saying that she did not appreciate being America's punching bag for 2 weeks straight.
Well, then don't do it drunk.
I'm going to be honest.
Don't do it drunk.
I'm going to be honest, and I do not mean this in a mean way. I really do not. No one remembers her name or that performance.
Mm-mm.
We featured that on the show when it happened. I did not remember her name when you just said that.
But you remember she went to rehab?
Billboard has her now as the third worst of all time. And here is your guys' favorite.
Oh, yeah. Carl.
Oh, say can you see and the rockets red flag.
Uh-oh.
Best of all time. Whoop. We have asked about that before. You know where your range is. You know that you should probably start lower. If that's one of the most difficult songs to sing.
Oh, yeah.
Why do people agree to do it if they can't do it?
Uh-oh. Come back to the beginning. Because he actually comes out. I mean, he's not a trained singer, obviously.
It wasn't terrible. He's an athlete. It wasn't terrible.
He comes out okay.
All right, are we all ready? Here we go.
Lower. Lower.
Go low.
Oh.
Lose the artistic license.
Oh, say, can you see? And the rockets. Red flag.
Uh-oh.
Who else is on the list?
Let's see. We've already done...
I don't know that I can hear anymore. The Fray was bad. It was an out-of-tune band.
Roseanne Barr, by the way, listed as the number two worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, I thought she
I don't like giving her the spotlight for that because
I thought she did that on purpose.
Michael Bolton, 2003.
Michael Bolton. Love that
really?
Guy.
Scott Stapp, 2005.
Scott Stapp from Creed.
Yep.
Aretha Franklin, Dr. John, and Aaron Neville in 2006.
Aaron Neville?
Steven Tyler listed eighth worst of all time. Both 2001 and 2012.
Oh, he's a twofer.
Repeat performer.
R. Kelly, 2005.
Yeah.
Christina Aguilera, 2011.
I would find that hard to believe that she would screw that up. She has a beautiful voice.
Carrie Hilson, 2010. And Jesse McCartney, 2009.
All right.
Who's that woman you said just a minute ago?
I like the redemption story.
Never heard of her.
I'm thrilled that they gave her another chance. She had a beautiful singing voice the first time, beautiful singing voice 22 years later.
And I think it's sweet that Maurice Cheeks came back.
So sweet. I don't know that we should be giving Carl Lewis another chance.
Somebody.
Let's do that again.
Uh-oh. All right. When we get back, Dana was talking about this story just a moment ago. A crime, literally a crime, at a Kansas City, Kansas ice cream shop. Are the parents potentially at fault as well? We will get to that story and much more coming up in just a moment. here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here from Channel 5, and it involves the attack on a KCK ice cream store manager the other day. Quoting here from the Kansas City, Kansas Police Department, our message to parents is this. You are accountable for your children's behavior. Let me read that again. And this is from the police department, mm-hmm. not the schools, not the church. Our message to parents is you are accountable for your children's behavior. The Kansas City, Kansas Police Department delivering stern words for parents after several children were involved in a, quote, disturbance outside of an ice cream shop on Wednesday afternoon. Two teens were arrested.
They assaulted a guy.
Accused of attacking the store manager of Hey Sugar in the 400 block of North 6th Street.
A woman.
That's right.
The female store manager came out. There were 9 kids that had gathered outside of the store. They were causing a ruckus or a fracas or whatever you want to call it. She said, y'all got to get out of here. And they decided to start throwing punches.
The teen suspects, both 13 years old, were booked into the juvenile detention center. One of them was connected with a previous crime at the same business last spring, allegedly. Quoting here from the police department in a statement. In Kansas City, Kansas, we want to be crystal clear. If your children engage in criminal activities, they will be charged. And if probable cause exists, the KCK Police Department will seek charges against you as well. The store manager suffered bruising and facial scratches.
All right. People are going to love this idea. I can already hear everyone in their cars going, yeah, charge mom and dad. Yes. Okay.
All right.
It is a great tough-on-crime message that we are tired of your misbehaving children criming in our city.
It's unconstitutional.
From a practical standpoint, how does this work? And the answer is it does not.
No,
so let's say, Scott, You and I have three badly misbehaving children. You go, you work nights, and I'm out of town. I'm out of town visiting my sick mom. You work nights. Our three badly misbehaving children run out and go criming. It's one of those things where you want to say, yes, clearly these kids have parents that need parenting classes. But to charge mom and dad, who were nowhere near the scene of the crime, you would have to prove intent. You would have to prove that they knew that the kids were going to be criming. Now, there have been other high-profile cases, not this case, where a dad hands his mentally disturbed son a gun and says, don't get caught with it. Should that dad be charged?
Absolutely.
Absolutely all day long. So that is direct involvement.
So there are cases where parents have been charged for the misdeeds of their parents. I only need to remind you, since you mentioned the gun, the two parents up in Michigan, in Oxford, Michigan, who were charged with the in connection with the four students who were murdered by their, allegedly, by their son, because they knew there were problems. They left that gun unattended, unlocked, and there were clear warning signs that something was wrong in his head.
Don't forget the, I believe it was Connecticut 6-year-old who shot his kindergarten teacher in the stomach.
That's right.
Mom was charged in that case as well.
But you can draw a direct line between that mother, that gun, and that gun in the backpack walking out that door with that child. You have to be able to draw some line between the criminal behavior and the parents. And you know, short of them saying, man, I really want you to leave here after school and go down to that ice cream shop and you go assault that woman. Mm-hmm. Short of something like that, I don't understand how those charges stand.
So let me just make this quick point before I forget it, Sam, if I could. The only way that I see where you could charge the parents, other than, you know, they participated behind the scenes. Hey, you go into the gas station.
Right.
You know, basically they're an accomplice. The only way that I can see you charging a parent is willful ignorance, okay, or behind the scenes participation.
It's the willful ignorance that I was going to bring up. One of the 13-year-olds is suspected to be involved in a robbery, by the way, broke in and stole from the business, allegedly, a year prior.
Okay.
If this kid has had a past where they are doing things that are illegal, getting in fights, stealing from businesses, and they can prove, that's where they said, if the probable cause deems as such, they will charge the parents. If they can prove that these parents knew that this kid was going around causing problems and still said, hey, go be a free-range kid, and then they get in a fight and beat up a store manager, I can draw a very clear line.
I didn't know they were leaving.
I had to go to work. The mortgage doesn't pay itself.
Yeah.
Food doesn't put itself on the table. I can't. What do you want me to do? Chain my kid to their bed before I go to work at night?
You have to be responsible for them. And if police have dropped this kid off at your front door 15 times in the last 3 years.
I hear what you're saying, Sam. But I can only, as a parent, you know, I can only do what I can do. And I know that sounds simplistic, but I can, you know, and I don't know if these parents are good parents or bad parents. I don't know. It's none of my business. But all I can do is parent my child and hope that when they go out, when I'm not around, that they do the right thing.
I will say this, as the victim in this case, I bet you that woman wants those parents charged. Do something, because this is not the first time allegedly some of them had been breaking the law on or around that property.
By the way, I should point out a youth mentor program group was also in the ice cream shop, and they are the ones
who stepped in
and broke it up.
Like the woman who is looking for ways to engage kids in the neighborhood and giving them bicycles and showing them there's a better way. It doesn't have to be violence.
Right.
That's like across the street.
Yeah, it's called the Lowriders Bike Shop, and it's supposed to bring kids off the street and teach them responsibility and skills while they're at it.
And good for them. And those young people, when they saw that something was going on outside, went across the street and said, hey, this is not cool.
Went and got an adult.
This is not cool.
Yeah, so the owner of that shop actually said it sounded like they were out playing or whatever and just didn't think anything of it. It was one of the kids who went to the owner and said, hey, that lady over there is getting beat up. We need to go do something about it.
Good on them. Good for them. And shame on these 9 other kids who allegedly started beating on this woman, who is the store manager at Hey Sugar.
Sickening.
913-586-7798. Antonio in Kansas City. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. The thing is that when the police want us to be accountable for our kids, when they're growing up and we try to discipline them, we get in trouble. So that's my point. So how can we discipline without spanking kids?
I think, Antonio, what you're talking about is if, you know, in today's day and age, if you use an instrument to strike your child, that is assault and battery, and it should be. You know, back when we were growing up.
A wooden spoon.
You want to talk free range.
Weapon
fly swatter,
choice.
Wooden spoon, Hot Wheels track.
Switches.
Go get me a switch. And you had to go pick the switch, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Dad's belt. He's right. You do that today. And I agree with that. I don't think you should be able to beat on a child. It doesn't work.
But I spanked my children on occasion. It wasn't often, but I did. But it was with a hand. An open hand on the buttocks. But I think we get a little carried away and paint with too broad of a brush when we say, well, you know, the system or the government or the police won't let us discipline our children. That's not true. That is not true. You can discipline your children. You can't beat them into submission with a Hot Wheels track. But you can spank your children. I would try not to leave a mark. Mike in Blue Springs. Mike, hello.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Got some detail. I'll try to get it all in.
Yeah.
About five, six years ago, my two teenage kids, I'm a father of five. At the time, both in high school, I went to work in St. Louis for the week. My wife worked overnight. They decided to throw a house party. About 100 kids. Police were called. Kids scatter like ants. When they caught my kids, we let them take my daughter to jail. She was at the time, I think, 16 or 17. My younger son that was there, he got caught. We let him go to police boot camp.
Oh, wow.
They're teenagers. I expect you guys to have a house party. I'll tell you the kicker in a second, but this has been about 5-6 years to this day. My daughter, we let her go through the court. You pay your fines. This is on you. Today, she's a registered nurse at a local hospital. My son went through the police boot camp diversion training. They wore them out like they were the military, if not worse. That kid went off and got certificates because he did so good. To this day, he has a child. He has a steady job and employment. And we talked to them numerous times. The only thing that I was upset with them about is because their four-year-old sister was in the house and they did not have good positive control over her. That was the only thing that I was truly mad at them about.
Yeah.
They paid their dues.
Hmm. You know, Mike, that's some damn good parenting on your part.
Hey, we got five kids. I understand things change, but guess what? I think they learned their lesson because after that, nothing really too serious happened.
I would learn my lesson after that. You know, messing around.
Hell, my dad put me in the truck and drove me straight to the police station. Wendy in Kansas City. Hello, Wendy.
Hey, guys. Listen, I just wanted to offer a little bit of something. I work in schools, and I have got kids that we have had issues with in schools. We talk to the parents. We bring them in. We try to get them on board with doing some corrective action, bringing the kids into a corrective way so that they don't go out and repeat these type of processes. Parents shut it down. It's not the kid's fault. My kid doesn't do it. Or better yet, parent becomes part of the problem and argues with the staff and just really creates chaos in the school. One of the schools that I've worked in was close to some businesses. The kids would go down and cause disruption and chaos in the businesses. They would call the school knowing those were our kids, identify them, ask us for help with it. We'd have to pull the kids in the next day when they came back to school and remind them they can't go into businesses and act like that. And parents did no backing when we would, you know, advise them of this. It was like it's somebody else's problem. So from the standpoint of, you know, finding accountability, sometimes you just got to look as far as the school and the history going on there. Sometimes it's a really long history of parents not taking up that parenting track and being the parent responsible, and that's why the kid's on the track they're at.
All right, Wendy, hey, do appreciate the call. 913-586-7798. We have Festivus Friday coming your way in an hour and 15 minutes. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com. All right, let's wrap it up. Kyle in Kansas City. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up? Welcome.
Oh, Scott, man, nothing at all. Hey, how you doing, Dan?
We are so good.
Right. Okay, hey, I just want to say this. I disagree with you, Scott, when you say that spankings don't work.
Hang on, Kyle. I never said that. I said I did spank my children, and I was spanked as a child as well.
Okay, I'm glad you corrected me because I sure thought you said you couldn't. But I heard from a judge when I was in court one time. I heard a court case. A guy had did something to a child, left a mark, and told him you can't do that. You have to use something on the rear end. As long as you leave it on the rear end, don't leave any marks or wounds, you can spank them to correct them. But I think the whole bottom line is that most parents right now are busy working, like you guys said. They're out earning the bucks, and the kids are out doing whatever. And this is why we got so much. They're able to run together and do the things that they're doing. And if we don't put some fear in them in some kind of way, it's just going to continue. They're doing what they're doing.
But Kyle, it was very infrequent. While I did spank my children occasionally, I got really creative. And I've told this story on the air before. They had, depending on the infraction, they had their choice
of listening to you drone on
between two 30-minute lectures that would run tonight and tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Or you could get one-hour lecture, and I would sit in their room. Each one of the kids had a little chair, little comfy little cushiony chair in their room, and I said, "Do you want 2:30s or 1:60?" And more often than not, they would say 1:60. Let's just get it over with. And I would sit there and I would just wax poetic for 60 minutes.
Yep.
I am a talk show host after all.
Thin Lizzy was the greatest band of all time. Oh, wait, what were we talking about?
Originally founded in 1970.
Been
their
punishing
debut
me
record.
For 4 hours a day for 13 years.
I know.
What did you do wrong?
I don't know.
Do you want the 4:01s or do you want 8:30s?
Should have just taken the paddle.
Because I can come over to your place tomorrow. We'll do 8:30s.
I'm good.
Anna in Lenexa. Anna, hello.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I've been listening to your show and some of the phone calls that you guys received. I do agree with the teacher. I think the parents should be charged if the police does their research. They do their research. And us as parents, we know if our kids are good or bad.
Yeah, I agree.
If you as a parent know pretty darn well that your child is a problem child and you have not done anything to correct the problem, you're damn well, yeah, you should be charged for it.
But charged with what? Charged with what?
With whatever it is. If the child, I don't know, maybe pay some fines or make sure that, I'm sure there was damage done to the store. So the parent should also be responsible for those fines if that parent knows that their child is a problem child. Now, we all do the spanking. We all did all of that stuff. But I think one of the things that really does work well with children, because that was done to me and I did it to my children, was whatever it is their passion. If their tablet is their passion, if their iPhone is their passion, if having the best shoes is their passion, take that away from them. Mm. Make them suffer and make them earn it. Okay? Don't punish them from 2 hours. Oh, no Xbox for 2 hours. No. Hell to the no. Take it away for 2 weeks. Take it away for a month. Make them earn that back. Because
I think parents, we feared our parents, did we not, Anna? Like, I was afraid of my mom and dad. And
no,
I was rarely in trouble, but I had a good, healthy fear of mom and dad.
Let me rephrase that. You didn't fear them. You respected them so much you didn't want to disappoint them.
That's the key word.
And also fear them.
That's the key word. And you know what? Unfortunately, because I've seen some of these kids, how they behave. I've been to KCK schools. I've even done like little talks to kids about the kind of work that I do. And you'll be surprised how disrespectful some of these kids are. and then just laugh at you in your face.
Oh, I don't think we'd be surprised.
Yeah, and then the thing is, like, you can't do nothing to me. You can't touch me. And so, I mean, I think us parents need to really put on our pants really tight and make these kids respect authority and make these kids respect the elderly, because it's really getting out of control. Anna, something needs to get done.
We got to run. Have a great weekend, okay?
You too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Be well. We are 1 hour out from Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances brought to you by Q39. The news is next with Dan Weinbaum. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Don't forget to check out our podcast, the Dana Parks Podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. We'll see you on the other side of the news with Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.